So I just want to say that actually for the first time since I made Aliyah, I actually felt like it's Pesach. What does it mean like it's Pesach? In other words, Pesach involves so many halachas that we don't really go through a whole year. And Pesach comes to review halachas, but you know, I haven't really felt the need to give a specific shir in the general laws of Pesach in a regular year. So this is the fourth Shmita that I think that I am going to be observing in Meretz Hashem, Veshas Hashem Yisbarach, and I think this is the fourth Shmita where I have given a shir in the shul. And I still remember, I think it was the last Shemitah, we were sitting over there in the corner, in the shul, without our masks on, and somebody, one of the ladies, and I remember who it was, said to me, "I don't understand," she says. "I was at your first shir, and your first shir, you made it sound like it was very difficult. And then the second Shemitah, you made it sound like, it was okay. And now you make it sound like it's a cup of tea." All right? And the truth of the matter is that you know, we in a certain sense we get used to things, and there are things that you know, we already know a certain way, but it's always good to review. So before I begin, so I just want to mention that what I'm saying is based on Rav Rimon Sefer. I've went through a lot of svarim on Shemitah since I got here, because it's something obviously Shemitah which I did not learn in my house growing up. Most of what I learned, what it means to be a Jew, I learned in my house. But Shemitah, obviously, I did not learn, besides doing a principle, I did not learn in my house. So I went through a lot of Svarim. And there's no question in my mind that Ramon Sefer is the best Sefer out there. There's no question the way it's written and how he really discusses every single Shita. And I encourage, he has it in Hebrew. I didn't read the one in English. He has it in English. I encourage everyone to really buy the Sefer and to try to go through it this year. In Mirtz Hashem, I will be covering Sugyas on Thursday night that were within the Sefer, and we'll also zoom at them for those who want to listen. But the first thing that we have to ask is, what really is our approach to Shemitah? Okay? Is our approach to Shemitah that it's hard? You know, you have to worry about Zman Biur. I'm not even talking about the garden. You have to be careful what you buy, and and if you buy Shemitah products, you have to be careful in terms of how you dispose of it. And you should know that, you know, you can't use Shemitah products for anything. It has to be something which is normal use. Just as an example, I think it was two Shemitahs ago. I forgot already about the last Shemitah. Someone walked into my house and I was making a mango smoothie during Shemitah. And he says to me, not from the shul, "I'm not sure you can do that because it's not normal use to make a smoothie." And I said, "I think it's normal use to make a smoothie." Right? So, in other words, so the question is, do we go ahead and do we embrace Shemitah? Or do we say, let's keep it as far away as possible and just try to find a way to get around the Shemitah, okay? And whether it's Erev Protus or whether it's a person using Heter Mechira. And the Heter Mechira, I would just point out, was definitely created to help the farmers, but is our approach to go in and say, let's try to get away from Shemitah. So my feeling is that we should try to embrace Shemitah. What does embrace Shemitah mean? We should try to keep Shemitah as much as possible. For what reason? Because the you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a Shemitah for a certain reason, and even though bizmanenu, Shemitah might be a Rabbanon, but when we keep Shemitah, we really learn a certain message. Okay, what's a certain message that we learn? You know, there are a lot of reasons that are given, but I think the most famous reason why we keep Shemitah, okay, and I still remember the example that my brother gave when I was in Shir in 12th grade, is because, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this wonderful country. It's a wonderful country, Baruch Hashem, right? And you know, and at some point, we have to remember, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this country, it's really the country for us to use, but really, Lashem Ha'aretz Lo, who does it belong to? It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, every 7 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I'm going to make certain rules," so we remember, right? You remember who, you know, who the country belongs to, an example my brother said is, there's a place in New York City called Rockefeller Center, right? You been to Rockefeller Center?
No? Yeah. It's where the snow...
You've been to Rockefeller Center? Rockefeller Center, you haven't been to Rockefeller Center, have you, right? So it was given, I assume, by the Rockefeller family, right? And what they would do is actually, not anymore, but one day a year they would close Rockefeller Center, okay? You couldn't walk the Rockefeller Center. Why? Because they want everyone to remember who does it belong to? Belongs to the Mishpachat Rockefeller. All right? So once every 7 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead, and what does he tell us? He says, listen, the land still belongs to me, and therefore, you have to go ahead you have to behave in a certain way. To remember that liko aretz, at least eretz is that we did a special present. HaKadosh Baruch gave it to us, but really HaKadosh Baruch was in charge. And for that reason, that's why it's important, you know, to try to, as I would say, I would try to embrace shmita. Now, so that being said, we know that when it comes to shmita, and you know, in Mirtz Hashem, we're going to go to the store. How many weeks? 2 weeks? A little more than 2 weeks, right? I'm not sure if it's going to be... I can't imagine it's going to be some Gedalia already. I'm not sure. Or it's going to be... But in the next 2 weeks, there's Mechuva. And I remember last time, you're going to start seeing numbers. Remember the numbers? They have numbers in the store, right?
One through seven.
Numbers about various types of... And what we'll see that, you know, when it comes to Shvius, there's definitely certain kulos we rely on. Whether it's Heter Mechira, whether it's Otzer Besdin, I'll explain, or whether it's Era Produce. And the reason is because we hold, the question is Shvius today Diraisa or Shvius Dirabanan? If Shmita is Diraisa, it's very difficult to be Mekel. If Shmita is Dirabanan, it's really not so difficult to be Mekel, and that's why we're Mekel. So the consensus of most Poskim, okay, and here I think I'm going against my family, actually, the Beis Halevi, okay, is that Shvius today is the Rabbanan, and I think that until the Mashiach comes, all right, and major changes take effect, so according to most poskim, Shvius will still be the Rabbanan, and I'll explain, okay? Yes. I'll explain, all right?
It's important for today's world to continue and commerce here to continue to possibly...
Yeah, it could be, but in other words, if the Matzias changes, the Matzias changes, okay? But the point I'm saying is, I once heard a shiur many years ago from a certain Rav, and I don't say who it was, and he said that, you know, at a certain point in the year, actually, I think he used the year 2020, one Jew's going to walk off the plane, and all of a sudden, boom, Shemitah will become the Araisa, and Yovel is going to kick in, all right? And I thought, wow, that is really cool, okay? That's really cool. I heard the shiur... I'm 57. I heard the shiur probably over 25 years ago. It's really cool, and it's going to have it. Why? Because, well, I'll explain why. So the Gemara says that Yovel is not the Araiser during the time of the Bayis Sheni, for in order to, and even by the end of the Bayis Rishon, because in order for Yovel to be the Araiser, what do we need? What do we need? The Yovel Midiraisa? We need Rov Yoshvel Lola. Most of the Jews have to be in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. And the Gemara Maseches Erechin says that in order for Shemitah to be Diraisa, Yovel to be Diraisa also. So most poskim basically feel that the Gemara in Erechin says that in order for Yovel to be Diraisa, so you need Rov Yoshvel Lecha. I'll come back to that in a second. You have the majority of Jews to be in Eretz Yisrael. And Yerushalmi Erechin says that it's only the Shemitah also is only the Raisa if Yovel is the Raisa. Shemitah and Yovel are connected. So today, since Yovel is not the Raisa, Shemitah is not the Raisa either. So, and most poskim hold that Shvius today is the Rabbanan, and that has been the approach of the poskim in Eretz Yisrael. Most poskim, I think for hundreds of years. Now, that is the Rabbanim. Now, why do I say that it's not going to become the Araisa? So this Rav said that in the year 2020, a certain Jew is going to walk off the plane, and at that point, 50.1% of the Jews in the world will be living in Eretz Yisrael. It's Rav Yoshvel Lel. Okay? So then, one day, I learned the Gemara in Erechin, and the Gemara in Erechin said that besides the idea that majority of the Jews in Israel, you also have every Jew has to be living in their, where their Shevet is, all right? Where their Shevet, okay? Now, by the way, I do believe Beit Shemesh is your Levium, I think, right? I think so, right? Okay? So, I belong here, okay? You know, okay? He says, but the bottom line is, we don't know where it is. And I think the Rashman and other Rishonim say, that's correct. So therefore, until it's you're in your proper Nachla, it's going to be the Rabbanim, according to most Rishonim. That's why I said that until Mashiach comes. In other words, what does that mean? I would assume, and I could be wrong, we could build a Beis HaMikdash and everything, right? But in order for the Virovish Velah, for every Jew has to know where it's supposed to be. And until that point, it's going to be the Rabbanon. So therefore, once it's the Rabbanon, it's much, much easier to make it. And then there are other Rishonim who seem to hold that that since there's no Yovel, there's no Shemitah either, it's just the minute to keep Shemitah. We don't Paskin that way, but that's another Snif Leheter. So therefore, most Poskim feel, and this is what's accepted, is that Shemitah is the Rabbanon today. Once Shemitah is the Rabbanon, then it's very easy to be, then it's very easy to make, as we'll see. So before we go into the rest of the shiur, it's important just to review what are the limitations of Shemitah. Shemitah is very different than other years. Number one, we have to be very careful to treat the fruit and the vegetables with Kedusha Shvias. You can't just throw something in the garbage. As you know, you can't throw something away. And we'll talk about this the next year, which hopefully next week, about what you do of leftover, leftover food. The other more problematic part of Shvias, I would say, is Svichin. What are Svichin? Svichin are basically vegetables, okay, and the way it's phrased are vegetables that grow by itself. Okay, so what does that mean, vegetables that grow by itself? Vegetables grow in the wild. So svichin that grow during Shvias are usher to eat. I still remember the first year when we're talking about svichin, I was wondering, like, wow. You know, in other words, you really can't eat vegetables for a whole year. Does that mean in the time of Chazal they didn't eat salad, right? It could be they didn't, I have no idea, right? So, svichin, which we'll discuss in a few minutes more, are usher to eat. The other issue is also about zman bir. We know that anything that grows is dusha shvias. Once the zman bir comes, you can't have an house. You have to mafker it. So, that is also something else we have to discuss. So let's.
What's zman bir?
Zman bir means that the Lach Pasuk says that as long as there's food in the field for the animals, okay. So you should know you're allowed to have. You're allowed to have the food in the house. Once the food in the field is gone for the animals, you can't keep it in the house. So at least you can't keep shalosh sudos. All right. So therefore, you have to either destroy it, or you have to be mafker it. I believe it was Ophir that once was mafker his wine. Was that your mafker
wine?
Yeah.
Other people should have done wine.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Yosef Simons was
there. Simons did it. Obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Wine,
so
there was no wine in the fields.
No grapes. And there's a calendar that comes out, by the way, that tells you when the zman bir is. There's a calendar that comes out when the zman bir is. Okay.
He told me it would come.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah. He says, okay.
Yes, he says, okay.
So what I want to talk about. I want to talk for a minute about svichim and what you do. So let's say for example, the first question that comes up, and this is very important, is what's the halacha of shomer v'nevad? What does that mean? Let's say there's someone has the halacha is that we have to go in, we have to keep our fields hefker, right? Okay, fields hefker. Okay, so let's say for example, David, you have a fruit tree in your backyard. Okay. What kind of fruit tree do you have? Oh, don't tell me. I forgot already. A second. I forgot already.
There were plums.
Plums.
That tree is dying.
It's dying. Okay. So do you have any other trees?
Clementines, right?
So let's say, for example, you know, Shia Stern hears there's free clementines. He wants to go into your backyard, right? And you say, sorry, lock solid, you can't come in. So it's not, it's summer, you're watching it, right? So the question is, the fact that you were watching the field the whole year, it's supposed to be after, does that make the food usher there? That's the question, okay? So actually, Rabbeinu Tam holds, it's usher, and Rashi, and the Chinuch, and others hold that it's mutter, okay? You're allowed to. And therefore, when the Torah says you can't harvest the fruit, all it means is that you can't go ahead and you can't harvest in the regular way, but you're allowed to harvest in the way which is not the regular way, okay? Which I think means, what does it mean? One thing it means for sure is, let's say, for example, your own personal tree, when you harvest the clementines, how many clementines do you harvest at a shot? clementines.
Yeah.
20, okay? So the truth is, 20 clementines is really a lot for more than three meals, right? Yeah, so Lord, so therefore, you can't harvest a lot at the same time, okay? That's the bottom line, okay? We'll come back to that a little later, a different application.
But so can I go into his field?
Yeah, he's supposed to let you into his field, yes.
Without asking issues?
Well, the only problem is, here's the issue.
Will you discuss it later?
No. The issue that comes up is that to get to your yard, you have to go through the house.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
then he really has to let you. He has to let you into the yard to go take the fruit. Right.
Yeah.
However, he does not let you into his house. However, if you come, he really has to give you fruit if you want.
So you have to put up a sign saying that you can knock on the door and
you can bring him fruits. Right. But I have no key to let someone into my house. Okay.
But I can go to the backyard and open it. There's no gate.
Yeah.
Go in and take.
Yes, you can. It's supposed to be.
Do I have to eat it there, or can I take it?
Take it home with you. Take it home. Okay. So
get ready.
Yeah. So anyways, okay. So we pass in the Shomer is mutter. Now, even though Shomer is mutter, it's a problem to buy Shvius fruits from someone for many different reasons. From somebody who is watching his field, because by buying it, what are you doing? You're being Messiah, you're helping him do what? Do an Aveira, right? However, if someone's doing it not in the form of Aveira, then it becomes Mutter, which means that the very important thing is that even if you hold, that you don't hold Hatter Mechira, and you hold Hatter Mechira as Asr, okay, let's just say you hold it's Asr, it's not a problem for me to go ahead and buy fruit from somebody that has had the mechira. Why? Because since he's doing it in the way which he thinks it's mutter, I'm not being mechazek gidei over avera. In other words, if someone has a reasonable shita to be so mecha, alright? It's not an idea that someone made up this idea and this is how I paskin. But someone has reasonable achronim to rely on, so it might not be good enough for me. But you can go ahead and you can rely on the person. It's not considered like I'm helping him do an avera. Just to give a practical example, so as many of you know, when I was living in America, here everyone does it. I was makbid on kemach yasha. Okay, what does kemach yasha mean? Kemach yasha means that any wheat that grows from Pesach till Sukkot, right? You're not allowed to go ahead and from Pesach till next Pesach, anything that grows after Pesach, you can't eat till the next Pesach. Okay, you can only eat fruit that grew, wheat, the grain that grew, while it grew, there was Hakravas Korban Omer. Okay, so there are certain things I couldn't eat. That wasn't a big deal. It's easy to survive. And my father's many Talmidim, Paskin like that, did that. And my father took it very, very seriously. So some of my father's Talmidim asked my father, Rebbe, what do I do when I go on a date with a girl in the winter and I take her out to a restaurant and she wants a hot dog and a bun, right? And what are you going to tell her? Sorry, you can have a hot dog but no bun. That's it, forget it. It's over, right? Sugar, I want a hot dog and a bun and I can't have the bun because it's chadash. This guy's crazy, right? So my father said, Reb Chaim V'Lashon holds that if someone's relying on another shita, even though you hold its usher, you're allowed to help them do according to their shita, okay? And that's the shita of Bachan. My father held that Yashin was a chiyav meikar adin. It wasn't
meikar. So what? Eat the bun? Not eat the bun?
You can give the gun. You can give the bun to somebody.
To the girl.
It's a girl or to a guy, whoever it is. It doesn't make a difference.
But not eat it yourself. But not eat it yourself.
You can't eat yourself.
Right, so you can have the bun, I won't have the bun.
You're right, okay? But so the same thing, so therefore it's not a problem, now, when it comes to vegetables, I'll come to that in a second, when it comes to fruit, it's not a problem to go ahead and to buy, vegetables for somebody, fruit. From someone who keeps at the mechira, it's not a problem. You might have to know Dusha Shvius, but it's certainly not a problem. And by the way, if Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who did not rely on Hatta Mechira, he felt that way also. Just to know. Okay. The second thing is the Isser he says the second thing is the Isser of Svichin. So what are Svichin? So Svichin, and this happens, is anything that grows by itself during Shemitah. Okay, I'm sorry, take that. Obviously, fruit that grow from year to year is not called svichin because that grows anyways no matter what. right? So fruits are always mutter to eat. But let's say, for example, you have a garden, and you plant cucumbers and tomatoes and zucchini and pepper, right? And in order to, when you plant, you know you have to sow the seeds every single year, all right? So in other words, just because I had a great crop of cucumbers for 7 years, if I don't plant them 8th year, right, I'm not going to have a great crop of cucumbers. What happens if all of a sudden cucumbers come up in that year, right? So am I allowed to go ahead and eat those cucumbers? So the answer is no. If it grows by itself, the answer is no. And by the way, you should know, someone here in Moffat Shemesh told me, in his garden, he plants vegetables, and every year he gets vegetables he didn't plant. So it's definitely an issue that happens here. You're not allowed to go ahead, and you're not allowed to eat svichim. We hold that svichim is asur midrabbanan. That's the way we paskin. And then, so the question is, let's say, for example, a person went ahead and planted the svichim on purpose during shvius, so there's no question that will be usher. That's why Shlomo Zalman Auerbach holds that even if you don't rely on Hatter Mechira, you can eat fruit in Hatter Mechira, but you shouldn't eat vegetables in Hatter Mechira. Okay? That's what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach holds. However, what happened...
Even though you don't hold the Hatter Mechira...
I can eat the fruit.
You can eat the Hatter
Mechira. The fruit, but not the vegetables.
Why can you eat the fruit of the
Hatter Mechira? Because fruit is not usher. The only problem is that someone went ahead and someone worked on the tree during Shemitah. It was over in Aveira. So if I go ahead and buy the fruit, I am going ahead. What am I doing? I'm being mechazik, a person who does what? Who did an Aveira. But if the person who's relying on Hatter Mechira, so I'm being mechazik him, but he has his posting that he relies on.
Correct.
So therefore,
correct.
It's not a problem.
But why is it going to allow you to eat the fruit?
You don't feel
that you're mechuyev to eat. No, sorry. You feel that it's us to eat.
No, because in other words, because the halacha is that what we paskin is that if someone worked on a field on Shemitah, so unless it's vegetables, you're allowed to eat it. Just you can't go ahead and support someone who does Navera. But since he thinks he's doing something mutter, he's following a certain shita, therefore it's okay to eat that. Alright? Therefore it's okay to eat that. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you're allowed to eat fruits of Hatter Mechira, but you shouldn't eat vegetables because vegetables that grew during Shemitah, there's no question that it's usher. Now, how about vegetables that were planted before Shemitah? Okay? What does that mean? Let's say right now they start planting cucumbers and tomatoes, right? And remember, okay, when you go to the store on, let's say, the week of Yom Kippur, and you're going to find in Best Market, you're going to find tomatoes and cucumbers, right? Those are going to be probably vegetables that were planted this year, and going to be harvested then. Yerakos, the definition, whether it's a Shemitah Yerek, is defined by when it's harvested, all right? So the question is, can you eat it or not? If it was, can you eat it or not? So this is very important to listen to. So therefore, the Rosh holds, one of the portion of Mishnayos, the Rosh holds that anything that grew, that started to grow before Shemitah, is mutterdi during Shemitah. You have to be no Kedusha Shvius, but anything that was planted before Shemitah and started to grow a little bit, okay, it took root, which I would say, let's say, for example, 3 days before, you're allowed to go ahead and you're allowed to eat during Shemitah. You're allowed to eat during Shemitah. Which why, you know, you're allowed to go ahead and you're allowed to eat during Shemitah. According to the Rambam seems to say that it's usur. So you have machlokas. According to the Rosh, you can't eat vegetables during Shemitah that were planted before Shemitah. And according to the Rambam, you can't eat vegetables. You can't eat vegetables. So since Shemitah is drabanan, right? We're makom. The Chazon Ish adds a very good cool in terms of the Rambam, which is actually very relevant for 2 weeks from now. The Chazon Ish says, when does the Rambam hold you can't eat svichin or plant before Shemitah? That's if the svichin just started to grow, okay, before Shemitah. But let's say, for example, the tomatoes or the cucumbers. It could be that there'll be tomatoes and cucumbers that will be harvested the first, second, third, 4 weeks of the year that will have already been finished before Yom Kippur, or maybe finished before Rosh Hashanah, and just harvested, then even according to the Rambam, a person will be allowed to eat it. So in other words, a person who wants to be machmer for the Rambam, which I'm not, but and only eat and not eat svichin that were planted before Shvius, But according to the Chaznish, the first 2 weeks of Shemitah, that will be allowed. Okay, that'll be allowed. All right, fine. Now, so that is the Shita of that is, so therefore, you know, that is definitely allowed. Okay, now. All right. So then the question comes up. Now I just mentioned, what doesn't Svichin apply to? Okay? So I have to try to remember this, but I'm going to talk about it later. But Svichin, the question is, does Svichin apply to flowers? Okay? To flowers, okay? So halacha is like this, right? If you have flowers, all right, if you have flowers that were planted during Shemitah itself, okay? That could very well be a very big problem. Because why? Because if I buy flowers that are planted during Shemitah, sometimes, problem like this, if there are flowers that are there for a smell, Shvius could apply to it. If there are flowers only there for looks, okay, Shvius does not apply to it. Okay? I've been told that most flowers have a smell. Okay? I don't know. Therefore, if let's say, for example, I buy flowers that don't have a nice reich, just there for a nice look, and they were planted during Shvius, really, it's not an issue for me to use those flowers because the Gzeiras Svichin doesn't apply. What's the problem? The problem is that many flowers are flowers that only grow if you plant that year, right? So therefore, if I buy flowers in April, May, or June that they planted in February or in January, so by buying the flowers, what am I doing? I'm supporting a guy who did what? What did he do? He did a beira. So if it's hadra mechira, it's not a problem because there's no dusha shvius, all right? And he has who to rely on. But if it's in hadra mechira, so you got it. So in other words, so therefore, even for flowers that don't have a smell, you have to be careful towards the end of the year, okay? You know, whether or not it has a hechsher. If it has any hechsher, hadra mechira, otzer bezdin, or, you know, chutz laretz, it's fine, all right? But if it doesn't have a hechsher, okay? Then you should know you have an issue. Flowers that have a reyach, so that would be definitely an issue. You definitely should get a hechsher, and you should be no kedusha shvius until, I guess, you know, you're ready if it doesn't look nice anymore. That's the.
You see, there's a difference between reyach and appearance.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, yeah. But I'm told, by the way, that most flowers do have a smell. Okay.
But most flowers, you don't. They may smell, but you don't buy them for the smell.
They say to try to be machmer for flowers that have a smell, then you don't buy it for a smell. Okay?
That's what they
say. Okay. All right, let's go on now. Okay.
A lot of the places
don't
have
that. Yeah, a lot of places.
You don't have that excuse.
Yeah. But one thing, I just wonder about some of the stops along the road you have to watch. That's right. I'm sure the ones that are Mapit Shemesh have Hakshur, but I don't know. I don't know where else. I'm not sure where else that would apply. Okay. The second place where Svichin doesn't apply is the land parts of Eretz Yisrael which were conquered by the Oli Mitzrayim, not conquered by Oli Bavel. And Mirz Hashem, there'll be a shir on that more specific after Rosh Hashanah at some point on a Thursday night. Hopefully we'll zoom in also just to understand that. But you're going to go to the store and you're going to find that says there Ole Mitzrayim, right? So there's no Isser Svichin, which means that how exactly they plant, we have to see, but there's no Isser Svichin. Things that grow inside a house, there's no Isser Svichin. So you'll see signs also that say this was planted in a hothouse. Or you'll see. So that's there's no Isser Svichin. All right. So the other case where there might not be an Isser Svichin, and I want to spend some time talking about it because this is very important, all right? And this is something which you're going to see, and it's a question. Before I begin, I have to add one point, all right? I forgot when it was. It must have been the first Shemitah here. And the first Shemitah here, I walked on the street, and I remember they had these signs that every cucumber buys a grenade. Do you remember those signs? Every kid buys a grenade.
No,
I remember, okay?
Yeah.
And at that point, I stopped buying Arab produce. At that point, okay? I stopped, okay? And I stopped buying Arab produce. And we're going to see. So, there's Arab produce. There's Hetter Mechira, all right? And there is Otzer Besti, right? The thing to keep in mind And this is very important, that in your house, it's very important to do what you feel comfortable with, according to halacha, right? But also to remember that shalom bayis, and shalom bayis I mean in terms of the whole family and friends, you know, rules over everything. What does that mean? What that means is that if you're going to have certain guests to come to the house, or family, send the family, all right? You know, if let's say, for example, you use Hadra Mechira, which is, you can rely on that. And you know, if you're, you know, you're, I don't know, your nephews, your nieces, or your cousins don't, right? So when they're there at one time, you don't, I'm not telling you to buy Arab produce, you know, you don't have to go ahead and you don't have to have every single thing that you want to eat. That's what Shemitah is about. I remember, I think actually it was my famous story that first Rosh Hashanah after Shemitah, when I did not have selik, Rosh Hashanah night, okay? How can you not have selik? It was very easy. In other words, sometimes there was a time that maybe we couldn't put something into the soup. That's what Shemitah is about. Sometimes you just can't have what you have to have. But in other words, the point is that we shouldn't make a machlokas about all these things. And without getting into any politics, the new legislation, I'm not sure what it's going to do, they're going to be allowing imports, right? Might help us in this situation. See, even though I would try as much as possible to use Eretz Yisrael produce for Eretz Yisrael Beis Din, right? When Shalom Bayis is at stake, it's okay sometimes to say, you know, I'll do something different. Now, so one of the big heterim is buying Shemitah from a non-Jew. Okay? So let's talk about, and we know that that's very big in Yerushalayim, that's very big in Bnei Brak. It's very big all over the place, all right? We're very fortunate that we have an Amafi Chamash store that's going to sell Otsu Besdin, all right? I have a niece in Haifa who called me and said to me, the Otsu Besdin store closed down. What am I going to do, all right? So what's it based on? There's a machlokas in the Gemara whether a guy buys land, owns land in Eretz Yisrael, does his ownership take away the ability, right, the ability for the land to have to mechuyev mitzvos luis baretz. So if you have a guy that owns land, does that mean, let's say for example, does that mean that land now don't have to give a truma, meiser, there's a machlokas in the Gemara.
Right, is the tvua kodesh if it belongs to God?
Right.
The land, is the tvua still holy?
Right, that's right, from correct, okay? So therefore the halacha is okay. So first of all, a guy, by the way, and this is important, a guy, if he has land in Eretz Yisrael, is allowed to do work on his land. Okay, even if you hold the land still is kedusha, in other words, that there's trumas and maestris and there's kedusha shvius, right? The guy is allowed to do work on his land. Why is he allowed to do work on his land? How come?
Why is he allowed?
Yeah, why? Because he's a guy. That's the bottom line. He's a guy. He's not mechuyev mitzvos. A guy is allowed to do land on... I can't do work on the guy's land, but a guy is allowed to do work on his land. Okay? He's allowed to do work on his land.
Is a guy allowed to do work on any land?
No, I can't let a guy do work on my land.
So only his...
I can't hire a guy to do work.
So it's not just the fact that he's a guy. It's also the fact that the land...
Yeah. By the way, if you go ahead, he says, if you go and you hold that way, right? Okay, so the Chazon Ish, right? The Chazon Ish basically, it's a machlokas, and the Rambam paskens that a guy does not have the koach to take away the kedusha, all right, and therefore according to the Chazon Ish, when Rambam says that any produce that grows on a non-Jew's land still has dusha shvius. You follow? In other words, the Rambam says if a guy goes ahead and has land, he says anything that grows still has dusha shvius. Okay, still has dusha shvius. Okay, that's what Rambam holds.
Okay, let's get to this.
You're right. I quoted the Chazon Ish. I didn't quote. Okay, so therefore you should know that in Bnei Brak, when they sell tvua nachri, they are no way kedusha shvius, okay? They're no way kedusha shvius because of the Chazon Ish, all right?
They're not kedusha shvius.
No, they're not. The Chazon Ish felt the best thing to do. Well, one of the best things is to buy from an Arab, but even though it's from an Arab, they're still kedusha shvius. That's why if Bnei Brak, the custom was that when you go ahead and you buy Tvua Nachri, you still have to know Kedusha Shvi'as. Now, whatever we do of Otzer Bezdin, they do with their non-Jewish produce.
I think our vegetables by Hanukkah, ultra-based vegetables will be done. All the things they're planting.
So
I think it's not just Bnei Brak. It's everywhere by midwinter.
No. But I'm saying, in other words, if we used Tfuah's Nachri, right? Okay, which I'm not saying that we do, we would not be Noah Kedusha Shvi'as. Okay, they in Bnei Brak, they're Noah Kedusha Shvi'as a whole year of anything the Goyim grow. Okay, because he holds that a guy does not have the koach to mafkia the kedusha from the land. All right,
he believes that the produce is still kadosh.
It's still kadosh. Oh yeah, it's still kadosh.
So I don't understand. So they sell yibul nochri.
Yibul nochri.
So is that?
I'm a lot. It's not us. It's not us, sir, because the non-Jew grew it. Non-Jew.
Can you sell it?
What
for a profit?
Can people
trade in it?
So that's interesting. So the question is, I think it's an interesting question.
Not,
I guess
nobody
actually passed. Right. So truth is, I'm not sure what they do there. We don't pass in that way. Okay, we hold actually. So let me explain. I'm not sure what they do. It involves problems, but we hold that yes, it's true that if a non-Jew grows something, so it has Kedusha Shvi'as if before the end of the product it goes back to us. You follow? In other words, but if it stays in the non-Jew's hand the whole time while it's growing, right? And it's, you know, so then it does not have Kedusha Shvi'as, all right? That's what we hold. So we hold, in other words, the whole problem of not having Kedusha, of having Kedusha, it's only if it comes back to the Jew before the end. But when we buy, if we do cucumbers and tomatoes from somewhere in the Gaza Strip, all right. So it's in their hands the whole time, okay. And for that reason, it's not a problem. We don't have to be Noah Kedusha Shvi'as. So for us, it's not really an issue. Miriam's right; it's not really an issue for us because we don't hold that way. He says. So for us, it's not a problem. Now. So.
Yeah, that's confusing. I'm confused.
Yeah, what do you mean?
I'm confused with that.
In other words, when we
one second, make it simple.
Yeah.
Yibul Nachri. You're talking about Yibul Nachri now.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to eat it or not allowed?
You're allowed to eat it. We hold you allowed to eat it. And no Kedusha Shvi'as. Okay? Because in other words, they hold in the Rambam.
Yeah, from a guy.
Because they hold in the Rambam says it still has Kedusha Shvi'as. That's only if it started off in the guy's hand and ended up in our hand. But if the land is always in the guy's hand, it does not have Kedusha Shvi'as at all. That's what we hold. Okay, so that's why it's not really an issue for us. Okay, that's why it's not a problem to go ahead and buy. And we don't, and anyone who eats, I assume, I shouldn't know for sure, but really the custom in Yerushalayim and in Beit Shemesh, I think, is that if you buy Yivul Nachri, throw it in the garbage after you're finished. Don't worry about it. No Kedusha Shvi'as. Okay? No Kedusha Shvi'as. Okay, fine. And that's actually how we paskin. Now, so that's actually, and you know, since it's Rabbanon, right, it shouldn't be an issue. However, that being said, what are the problems of Yivul Nachri? Okay? So one very big problem of Yivul Nachri is that, as you can tell, it's very difficult to have Hashkach on Yivul Nachri. Why? So I think it was two Shemitahs ago, they showed how they had the Mashkichim were over Gaza with helicopters watching, because who's going to go into Gaza? Right? Who's going to go into Gaza? That's very problematic. The other challenge is...
What's the problem? I understand.
In other words,
security.
Mashkichim. That was just an issue. The second issue is that we're...
I'm sorry. What does Mashkichim have to do with cucumbers?
They want to make sure that it's actually it all comes from non-Jewish hands. And why?
From Gaza. No,
otherwise, they take trucks.
Rav Ramon wrote in his Sefer. Believe it or not,
that's the room. Is that really
true? Yeah. Rav Ramon wrote in his Sefer that there were situations, yes, where certain Jews went to the Arabs and sold them their vegetables, and they turned around and sold as Yavul Nachri.
Right. Now, Now, was that before 20 years ago? Before the Intifada?
I don't know. But that's one.
I imagine more upon who you're Shamron.
What?
It depends when.
Yeah.
And also, I don't
see. Sessions go back a long time.
I think it's an outdated discussion.
Why is there a much greater
to make sure that no one's made a switch and bought something.
I understand. What about Trumpets and Mises?
It could be. They have to be mafresh in that situation. It could be. I'm not sure. But anyway, that's the issue. The other issue is, and this is a more important issue, is and one of the time, in other words, the question is, are we supporting people we should not be supporting, right? And even though we do buy fruits and vegetables from Eretz for 6 years, but giving them more support in the seventh year is problematic because then it makes it more difficult for the Israeli farmers afterwards. Okay, that's the other issue. Okay, so that's in terms of that's in terms that's in terms of Yevul Nachri. I will tell you that for whatever reason. So therefore, I think it's a certainly Rav Rimon, by the way, his definite natia is not to use Yevul Nachri. And that's mine. That's I feel also because, you know.
Chanukah, what choice do we have?
I mean.
There'll be no
more
Otsa
Beisar. Matar Nutak.
What?
Matar Nutak. I seem to feel, I could be wrong, that 7 years ago I did not buy Yevul Nachri. By the way, it's very difficult to do that. In the cans, it's very difficult, okay? In the canned product, probably it's not healthy to eat canned products. In the canned products, it's very difficult to do that. But I think the Otzer Besen was not, they and they bought also from Ole Mitzrayim, Gvul Ole Mitzrayim, they bring from the Arava. That's what happens, they bring from the Arava. You'll see that there is one type of Yevul Nachri that Otzer Besen had. I forgot what it was, but we'll see. All right. And by the way, I think this year will be more of that because the new legislation. So then let's talk about Heter Mechira for a second. Okay, so Heter Mechira, we know there's a lot of discussion about Heter Mechira. Okay, it's there are those who hold the Heter Mechira, Svichin Ramam is treif, and Mekalim become treif. There's no question of that. There are those who hold that way. What's Heter Mechira based on? So the Heter Mechira is based in the sheet of the Sefer Trumas that says that there's no Isser Malacha in the field of a guy. Okay? Which means, according to the Sefer Truma, a person can go ahead and a person could actually work in the field of a guy. I can go into Gaza and work in Gaza, according to the Sefer Truma. There's a Gemara. And this Gemara is in the Chaf of an Aleph of Mesechah Sanhedrin, which the whole thing depends on. And Mara goes, Poku uzoru b'shvias v'shum arnona. One of the Chachmei Chazal said, go and sow the field in shvias because of arnona. They told Jews to plant seeds in the field during shvias because of arnona. So the question is, what does arnona mean? So there are three shitas that are mentioned in Rishonim. One is that if they wouldn't go ahead and they wouldn't plant the fields and cause things to grow, the goyim would kill them, right? For kuach nefesh. So that's obviously very easy to understand because for kuach nefesh is docha, kol tarakula. The second shita is that, and this is fascinating, is that the reason they allowed them to plant during shvias is because, in the words, is mitsuka klalit. It would hurt the economy if they didn't have if they wouldn't go ahead and plant, it would really destroy the economy. Okay, so you're allowed to plant things to go ahead if you're not going to destroy the economy. So you're not going to destroy during Shvias. Answer is yes, because Shvias Vizmanenu is what is the Rabbanu. And the third opinion is that Arnona, the land. What does Arnona mean?
Tax,
okay? So that means if it's Arnona, who does it belong to? It belongs to the government. And that those days, the government was not Jewish, right? So therefore, the land belongs to the government, not to Jews. So you can go ahead and you can plant them there. So according to the second, so the question is, how do we paskin? So the Chazon Ish who hold Heter Mechira as Osir, he said the reason why they're allowed to do it is because of the Kuach Nefesh, okay? According to the other two opinions, that either because it's going to cause a big danger to the economy, right? And therefore it's drabbanon, so it's mutter. Or because it belongs to a non-Jew, right? That's a heter. On that we can go ahead and we can rely on heter mechira. That's the basis for heter mechira. And of course it's drabbanon. Okay, and as we know, for hundreds of years, it was definitely a very big challenge. Or everyone feels that even today, it's definitely a challenge in terms of the way it's supposed to be done is that they're not supposed to allow the Jews to do work that's diraisa on the field, only the rabbanon. I'm not sure what happens. Okay, so what are the problems of hatamachira? The major problem knows about hatamachira is what? What's the major problem?
No idea.
You're not allowed to sell goy. Good. You're not allowed to sell Eretz Yisrael to a goy, to a pagan. Okay, so they say that today it's a little better because now they don't sell it to a pagan. You told this to me, right? But as they say, they sell it to who? To a ben Noach, right? Someone who keeps the seven Noachide laws, all right? But the Poskim say it's very difficult to say it's lo sechanim. Why? Because they want to say lo sechanim only means it's usher. They want to suggest if you sell it permanently, right? And here, why are you doing it? You're doing it not to give the goyim a foothold in the land. You're doing it to have the Jews have a foothold in the land. And therefore, it should not be a problem. The second issue that they have is, does the heter mechira have a tokef mishpati? What does that mean? What that means is, interesting question that came up, right, many years ago, regard mechira chametz, right? Let's say I go ahead and I sell my chametz to a goy, all right? I sell, you know, my father sold Streitz Matzahs every year. Even though Streitz Matzahs is a kosher Pesach company, they have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of chametz, right? Because they sell other products during the year. And I remember being my father, when he was writing the contract out, it was like a few hundred thousand dollars running a contract to sell to the guy, right? Now, my father wrote it out in English, by the way, because my father wanted to write a real contract. But for so long, they would write the contracts of Mechiras Chametz, I don't know, the guy, we're in Hebrew, right? You take this Hebrew contract to court, right? You know, somewhere in Poland, Lithuania, right? What's the judge going to say?
What is this?
Yeah, like, there's no validity. So people want to say the heter mechira has no validity. Supposedly, there's a law now that says heter mechira has tokef mishpati. There's a law. Now, I do want to mention something, okay? You should just know, and I don't have the answer to this question. I once spoke to a posek about going to a bank and taking out a loan. Because when I take a loan from a bank in Eretz Yisrael, what's the problem? Mm-hmm. So they have heter iska. So I asked him, is the heter iska really enforceable in court? Right? And I got like, you know, it's a challenge. Like I said, it's a real challenge. Alright, and the third thing is there gemiras das? Does Jew really intend to sell it? So, it could be that since it's mechira l'shah, So therefore,
he sells it only for a year.
What?
He sells it only for a year.
Yeah, right. That's what he said. They said, yeah, that's what he said. Now, so therefore, I would just say that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach held, as I mentioned, that when it comes to after mechira, says anything which is vegetables planted before Shvius and any fruits, it's not a problem. It's not a problem at all. You can go ahead and you can use after mechira.
After mechira and fruit. In Shnat Shemitah is no problem.
No problem. You should be no Kedusha Shvius probably, and even Rav Cook was no Kedusha Shvius, and also when it comes to to vegetables planted before Shvius. But he held you shouldn't buy vegetables during Shvius. I tried to be machmir not to use hefer mechira. All right, now, but I didn't make a machlokas about it. Now, the last thing, which is probably where most of us are going to be using, is what's called Otzer Besdin. What's Otzer Besdin based on? Otzer Besdin is based on the fact, based on the Tosefta, that, without going through the whole Tosefta, that the Besdin would send Shlichim to a certain, messengers to a certain field, and they would hire people to work, and they would harvest, right? And they would go ahead and they would sell the fruits to regular people for the cost of the harvesting. In other words, they wouldn't go ahead and pay the cost of the fruit. They would pay the cost of the harvesting. The problem is the cost of the harvesting is very expensive. Okay, what's the issue? The issue seems to be, some Rishonim point out, that, hold on a second, how can the Shlichei Besdin harvest when the Torah says that what? You're not allowed to harvest. So the Ramban says that issur of harvesting in a regular way only applies to who? Only applies to the owner. Okay, only applies to the owner. doesn't apply to somebody else, okay? David, can I tell the story that happened to you? See if you remember the story? Because when I learned this Ramban, I remember the story that happened to you, all right? I'm not sure if it was 7 years ago, 14 years ago, some guy knocks on your door, right? And he wanted to go to you, one of your fruit trees, take your fruit, right? And you thought he'd come take fruit for three meals, right? He basically came out, right, with the whole basket, the fruit off, the, all the fruit from the tree. Do you remember that story? Yeah, okay. All right, so David, trust me, right? And you said to me,
it wasn't me.
How did he do that? The truth is, I said, I don't know, right? And now I understand. Based on the Ramban, he said, I'm not David Morris, I'm not the owner, right? I can go ahead and harvest all the fruit from the tree. I don't recommend doing that at home, by the way, for someone else. Okay, I'm just telling a story, okay? So now I learned, if you ever meet this guy, you can tell him. You know, if you remember Julie's story, right? Which tree was it? The clementine tree? The plum tree? Yeah, so anyway. So that's the heter. But there are those who say that, hold on, the Rambam doesn't mention this idea of Otzer Beis Din. And therefore, many of the Svardi poskim do not like Otzer Beis Din. That being, I think, Rav Avishal, Rav Mordechai Yodin, not like Otzer Beis Din, felt that the Mechira was better. And according to Rav Rimon, Rav Vadi Yosef originally said Hatter Mechira is better than Otzer Beis Din. And I want you to know, I remember before the first Shemitah, I saw in the paper that Rav Vadi Yosef said that. That Hatter Mechira is mutter. He was talking about the price of cucumbers. I remember that. Okay. So that later on, I think he went ahead and he said better to get Otzer Beis Din. But yes, Otzer Beis Din is also not l'chol hadeos. All right. And the reason why we can rely on, and as a matter of fact, Rav Rimon says that Rav Kook, who brought Otzer Beis Din back into practice, he did Otzer Beis Din in conjunction with Hatter Mechira. Okay, he did both together. Okay, because he wanted to go ahead and do both together, because even Otzer Beis Din. So the bottom line is that short of getting all your vegetables from Chutz Laretz, okay, there's Shemitah is a perfect example of where if you want to have salad, you got to rely on some kula. Okay, that's the bottom line. Okay, however, we rely on those kulas because of Shvius. I think my father's cousins, the Briskers in Eretz Yisrael, I think my brother also, are very matvid not to eat any vegetables, okay, during Shemitah. I heard my brother, before Shemitah, they went ahead and they bought a freezer, and he bought tons of onions, and they fried onions for the whole year and put it into their freezer because of this, okay? I heard a story once that someone once asked from David Soloveitcher, I think of David or Rivero, they were coming from Chutz Laretz, they were going to Chutz Laretz for the summer, and they wanted to know what they can bring back for the Rosh Hashiva, right? You would ask me 23 years ago, I would have said, bring him back a container of Tropicana orange juice, okay? But my father's cousins didn't have that desire. One of them said, if you want to bring us back something, bring back carrots. Why carrots? Because Rosh Hashanah night, one of the simonim is carrots, simis, right? So he wanted to have carrots. Okay, so they were very mocking it, because whatever you rely on, you should know that whatever you rely on, you should know is a problem. The Chazon Ish, by the way, also blind notes are best, and also. So,
why is the product more expensive?
I'm not sure. It's one of the biggest.
Scale.
What?
Scale.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to do. Rav Manning at the OU Center has been doing Shirim on Shemitah. Said recently that Rabbi Gitman, who had been a very strong proponent of Otzer Beis Din, this year says he's not anymore, because in theory it's a great idea, and in practice it doesn't work.
I will tell you, because it really, if it's supposed to be. If it's supposed to be only the price of collecting, it shouldn't be more expensive, right? Right? I will tell you that's a very big problem. Now, that being said, it could be next year the price of fruit for Otzer Beis Din will be cheaper than this year, because it's going to be pretty difficult to get more expensive than the fruit for the fruit this year is very expensive. So
yeah,
I can imagine
expensive.
next year maybe that's why they raised the price, and next year they can lower it for Otzer Beis Din. I'm not sure. The fruit this year is very expensive. I will tell you that there was once a guy on the corner of Dolev and I alone that sold Otzer Beis Din, right? And actually, his fruit was a little cheaper. Okay. Now, by the way, that being said, the fruit is not going to be as nice, right? But that's definitely the problem with Otzer Beis Din. Okay. That being said, the fact that they charge a higher price for it doesn't make it usher, it's still Otzer Beis Din. And since Shemitah is Rabbanon, right? So therefore, whatever you do, right, is okay. What I have had, I'll tell you the truth. So, for whatever reason, I prefer to have Otzer Beis Din. I don't have Yevul Nachri. Would I agree to bring Hatam Chir to my house? The only reason I wouldn't do it is because I think it would just affect too many people to come to eat in my house. I don't want to go there. You know, because there are people who really feel it's a problem. So, but Hatam Chir, you know, at the end of the day, it's Dravana, and they have what to rely on, and therefore, therefore, really, Mikra or Din, it's okay. But again, the person has to realize the world they're living in and what's around them, and I prefer to use Otzer Beis Din or something from Chutz La'aretz, and we'll see what happens. And by the way, there is Otzer Beis Din at some point does have some things that are regular Yevul Nachri. It's true, okay? I think so, but I forgot what it is. But it's not straight Yevul Nachri. It's something with Yevul Nachri. So Mirtzah, yeah.
It's basically
with the yes. Yeah. So Mirtzah Hashem next week, I hope Tuesday. Again, the shiur will be on Zoom. I'll deal with the practicalities of how to deal with the fruit and the vegetables. We'll deal with that. And Mirtzah Hashem, we'll see where there are various shiurim that we can give throughout the year, like about Zman Bir, but maybe we'll try to intersperse it throughout the year. All right? Okay.
I definitely remember last time, Best Market, there were just times when they had to go Yevul Nachri.
Yeah, but if I remember correctly, it was a specific type of Yevul Nachri. I remember there was a whole story you had to ask. So we'll see. In other words, I think that at the beginning of the year, Ophir is right, it's 1 through 7, then the number goes up at some point.
What does that mean, the numbers 1 to 7?
In other words, they have like certain things, you know. Maybe they'll have like, you know, vegetables, yarukos, that actually, number one, you know, were fully grown before Rosh Hashanah. Then vegetables that were planted before Rosh Hashanah, right? Then you have, you know, Matar Mutak. And then you have hothouses. Then you have, Arava, right? And there was something about Yevul Nachri. And I remember across the whole story trying to understand exactly what it was. I figured it out, but my memory is not that good. Okay, I just remember stories, David, not about those things. So we'll find out. We'll see what happens. All right. Okay. I'll tell you very simply. Okay, I'm really thinking about this. Okay, and I'll tell you why. This is a year again, like last year. Okay, unfortunately, where we have to be limited. Okay, as I said, look at us. I'm giving a shiur outside, not inside the air conditioned building, because I don't want to wear a mask. We're sort of spread apart from each other. Okay, it's a different year. I don't think I'm going to mikveh this Erev Yom Kippur. I got to be honest with you. I'm not going to mikveh this Erev Yom Kippur. All right, I'm not going to do it. It's a different year.
You didn't do it last year either.
I did not do it last year. I couldn't have done it last year because I was in America. None of the men's mikvehs are open. Okay, so I couldn't have done it last year. I wouldn't have done it anyways.
Where's the beach?
Yeah, I might do that actually. I could think about that. Then I might do it. I might go to the beach.
Have Yom Kippur at the beach.
Yeah, why not? Cool idea. Okay.
Short trip.
Yeah. I don't know about that. Everyone going their own to the beach. All right. He says, by the way, I have a student. I have a student that lives here, in Beit Shemesh, and he told me his boys do not like going to the men's mikvah, and he takes them to the beach every Yom Kippur. Right? That's what he does. Yeah. What? Whatever. Teach their own. Anyway. I'll tell you what the problem is. The issue is like that. I'm still thinking this through. Really, Me'ikar Adin, you have to have a principle at the end of Shemitah. Okay? Last 2 years, or last 3 years, because of the Chumrah of the Rosh, okay, I had a principle at the beginning of Shemitah also. Alright? That's Shemitah of the Rosh, but it's a Chumrah. Alright? So there are two problems. First of all, you don't want to freak people out about a Chumrah. Okay, what does that mean? In other words, I can do a principle, and I'm okay. But all of a sudden, you know, when it comes to people's money, they get so nervous, people, right? People get very nervous and they're
going to come. Especially if you do two, one after the, 1 year
after. Yeah, but the one at the beginning, unfortunately, is just a chumrah. It's a chumrah ba'alam. I don't even do it in everything. We do it here. But I'm trying to think, right? I'm trying to think, is it something which I should cause a whole mass of people to come to shul for that during the week, right? And number two, like, do I want to really, I'm telling you, in other words.
Did you do it in the past?
I've done it in the past.
You did? Two years in a row?
Yeah, I do. I've done it in the past.
Really?
I've done it in the past, yeah. But what?
I'm not coming twice.
Okay, fine. To come the second time, not the first time.
That's
okay?
Not good.
Okay. Next year, Mashiach will be. But that's the question I have to think it through. Another time, I'm trying to think it through. Is it really worth it to go ahead and to have people get uptight about something which is a chumrah, especially in a year like this year? That's the question I have. I don't know the answer to that question. But I just remember that, and even though I announced the last three times, don't worry about it. It's a chumrah. Don't be nervous about it. People get very nervous about it. All right, what can I tell you? So I can think
like
of it.
Yom Kippur will be. Yeah. That's a better meaning.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Okay, shkaya. Okay, thank you, everybody. Okay. I do remember something Yavul Nachri, but I remember we looked into it. Wasn't the regular Yavul Nachri? I think the point of what your best is to make sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's not called. Oh, what's it called? It's called.
What?
It's the sort of keep the support from the Jewish hands.
It's to what?
Keep supporting the Jewish hands. The truth of the matter is that it took me many years to go through it myself because I always thought Hatter Mechir was a terrible thing, you know, and then when I came, I looked at a suit, you learned. But when you come here, you come here
David,
and you realize you don't want to buy your Vul Nachri.
Trim
you're
your
say, you know, it's really
trees
not so
and not
bad
with tinsel before
right?
Hashanah.
Yeah, that's it. But living in America,
yeah.
And the truth is, why should I buy it in America?
Trees.
Yeah. The truth is, by the way, I hardly bought. Maybe England did it, but America. Every so often, you have Jaffa
trees.
Oranges. Today you can get every product in America.
You get
American products here and Israeli products there.
Last time I walked there was.
I was talking about fruits.
Fruits.
Yeah. Trim the tree. Yeah. All right.